Blog Talk Radio.
God led his people out of Egypt, heading for the Promised Land. He had parted the Red Sea for them, and now they were in the desert. Soon, the people began complaining.
We should have stayed in Egypt. There we had meat and all the food we wanted, but we'll starve to death in this desert.
But God still loved his people. He made sure they had plenty of food and water. He gave them a strange white food called manna. It came from the sky and was very good for them, but still the people whined and complained. Once, God even made water come out of a rock so they would have fresh water to drink. The people were happy to have water, and they stopped whining for a little while. One day, God called Moses up to the top of a mountain to have a talk. God gave Moses many rules to help his people know how to live. God wrote the rules on stone with his finger. We call these rules the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. You must not have any other gods except me. Do not worship or serve any other gods or idols. Do not speak the name of the Lord your God thoughtlessly. Keep the Lord's day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder anyone. Be true to your husband or wife. Do not steal. Do not tell lies. Do not wish for someone else's things.
Praise God, praise God. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Reaching Out Radio. This is your host, Evangelist Montel Fields, and tonight I'm going to be sharing with you about the Ten Commandments and how nowadays people take them so lightly and they really don't follow the Ten Commandments. And I really want you to be honest and ask yourself, could you stop and name the Ten Commandments without going to the book of Exodus and listing the commandments that way? How many of us have forgot about the commandments and they're no longer a part of our life? That's what God put on my heart yesterday that I was to teach about tonight. And I'm going to share some things from the heart through the leading of the Spirit. And I'm also going to share with you an amazing teaching I found online that God led me to it. And he always reveals to me when he has wanted me to go forth and to share things. And I follow the leading of the Spirit. Right now, I just want to go before him, offer up this broadcast to him for his glory, and I just ask you to come into agreement with me. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for the opportunity to be your servant. We thank you for another day, dear God, for each day that we get is a gift from you, Father God. I ask tonight, Father God, that you just open ears to receive this word, whether it be live tonight or if it be on demand down the road. I pray that the hearts will be ready to receive it and that the seed will be planted into their hearts, dear God, where it will spring forth and come to life, dear God. Lord, I lift this broadcast up to you for your glory. and in obedience, Lord, for you put it upon my heart, Father God. I am nothing without you, Father. It is only through your leading of the Spirit and your anointing that I am able to do the things I do, dear God. I glorify you, Father. I honor you. I thank you for all you do in my life and all my brothers and sisters' life and what you're doing in Reaching Out Radio, dear God. You are great. There is none above you, Father. And I know in my own life, I want to live my life according to your word, to your commandments. I want all I do to be pleasing unto you, Father. If there's things, Father God, in our lives that are not pleasing unto you, Father, I ask, dear God, that you empty us out and that you mold us and change us into what you would have us be. I ask these things in your Son's name and in your perfect will, Father God. Amen. Praise be to God. I love being able to share the word with you, and I always get excited to see what God's going to lead me in and what he's going to lead my other ministers that share. We have the word of God going out 7 days a week here on Reaching Out Radio, and I thank God for what he has been doing in Reaching Out Radio and for all the amazing men and women of God that he has brought in to the ministry. And I really want you to really just sit back tonight, take in, take notes, and understand the importance of what I'm going to be teaching on tonight. So many people think as the Ten Commandments just as suggestions, but we need to really stop and understand God himself wrote the commandments, and we need to take them back into our hearts and into our lives and live our life according to the commandments. And when we look to the word commandment, a commandment is a divine rule, especially one of the Ten Commandments. It is a rule to observe, a strict one. And we know that God himself wrote the commandments. I want to get ready to share a powerful teaching with you. I love where the Lord leads me. And this is a teaching by Betty Miller. And it's in regards to what the Bible says about the Ten Commandments. What importance is there for a Christian or anyone else to know the Ten Commandments? How much validity and reverence can they have in our lives today? Does God expect us to follow them? Will we go to hell if we do not keep them? Are these laws for everyone? Are they only for those who hold the Old Testament as sacred? All very good questions. If you have ever asked yourself these questions, I really truly believe that you will be blessed by this in-depth look at the Ten Commandments. And I really just really do want you tonight to take in and understand and ask God to help you to absorb his word tonight. And, you know, it's so important with things that are going on in this world that we know the word of God and we follow it and we stay true to God's word. And as Sister Pearl Gorpin was sharing last night, there's going to come a day where we don't have our Bibles anymore. They're going to be taken from us. So we need to make sure that we know the Word of God. Have you ever wondered how the Ten Commandments came about? The Ten Commandments are the ten basic laws that God commanded Israel to obey in the Old Testament. The laws were given to Moses by God himself. Moses was called to God to go up into a mountain, and there God gave him these commandments so he could return and give them to the Israelites. They were written in tablets of stone by the very finger of God. The story is recorded in Exodus 24, 12, and 13. Again, if you want to get your word, Exodus 24, 12, and 13. In verse 12 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give these tablets a stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God." Here are the Ten Commandments that God spoke and wrote for Moses to give to his people. The Ten Commandments from the King James Version, Exodus 20, 1 through 17. Again, Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy mother and thy father, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. If we break it down and we look at the condensed Ten Commandments, they would read as follows. Number one, thou shalt not have no other God beside me. Number two, thou shalt not worship any graven images. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to rest and keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. Number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. Number ten, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. And I want to take a quick break. I found a little song to go with what I'm teaching on tonight in regards to the Ten Commandments. And then I really want to come and share and get back into the Word with you and really get down and real with you in regards to the Ten Commandments, because they do play a very important role in our life. And God brought them forth for a reason. I want to share the Ten Commandments song with you, then we're going to come back to the teaching and just pray that God leads us tonight where we have understanding in His Word and what He's trying to bring forth in the message. And I thank you to all my listeners tonight and everyone that's going to listen on demand. I really do appreciate you. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support and helping Reaching Out Radio to grow. You're a part of our ministry, and you're a part of helping the Word of God go forth when you share the broadcast and you listen. And I thank you so much. And know that we love you so much here on Reaching Out Radio, where we're reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
God and each other if you keep the Ten Commandments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the Ten Commandments. You'll discover how to love God and each other if you keep the Ten Commandments. God first, no idols, don't misuse God's name. Worship and rest, honor your parents, this will bring God fame. When you
keep the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the 10 commandments. You'll discover how to love God and each other if you keep the 10 commandments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the 10 commandments. You'll discover how to love God and each other if you keep the 10 commandments. No murder, no adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. Now I know you're gonna love it. By God's grace, you're gonna fly. When you keep the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the 10 commandments, you'll discover how to love God and each other if you keep the 10 commandments. God first, no idols, don't misuse God's name, worship and rest, honor your parents, no murder, no adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. This will bring God fame. When you keep the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the 10 commandments, you'll discover how to love God and each other if you keep the 10 commandments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the 10 commandments. You'll discover how to love God and each other if you keep the 10 commandments. Keep the 10 commandments. Keep the 10 commandments.
Keep the 10 commandments, for they're not 10 suggestions. And earlier at the beginning of the broadcast, I asked you to be honest. And if some of you are just tuning in, or when you listen on demand, how many of you can truly list the 10 commandments in order or recite them to know them? I bet there's a lot of people, even Christians, that nowadays that they really lost their importance. And I don't mean to offend anybody in that, but they really, truly do have significance in our life. The Ten Commandments offers guidance. Psalm 119, 104 through 105 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we want holy guidance, we must study the Word of God and find out what God has to say about life and human experience, so that we can be guided by His Word. Neither my opinion nor anyone else's opinions are sufficient to solve the problems of humanity. The answers can only be found in God's Word. He is the creator of all things, and He has the answers for His creation. He is the judge and final authority on every subject. Hallelujah. By keeping His Word and His commandments, we will not stumble, but will have light on our pathway of life. Therefore, we should make it a priority to understand His ways. If you do not know the Ten Commandments, you are among a big company. Recent statistics state that the average Christian scored very low when tested for knowledge of the Ten Commandments. Most of us do not know the Ten Commandments, and many cannot even name three of them. That's really a sad commentary for Christians. The Ten Commandments are the 10 basic laws that God commanded Israel to obey in the Old Testament. Since all believers in Christ make up spiritual Israel, these laws are still valid for us to live by. Some people think that these precepts do not apply to Christians today, as they are the Old Testament law. I have heard people make this statement: well, that's the old law. We do not have to keep the old law. The Bible teaches that the Old Testament law is the foundation for the New Testament commandments. We actually are called to keep a higher law under the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, they were judged on their deeds and their actions. The New Testament, we are judged by what goes on in our hearts. The Bible deals all the way through the New Testament about what goes on in the heart of man. Jesus dealt with the heart attitudes of men. He always put his finger right on the motives of men. In the Old Testament, men were commanded not to commit murder. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us if we have hatred in our heart for a brother, we are guilty of murder even if we do not commit the actual deed. 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." God's commandments are life to us. Let us see what the Bible says about the importance of knowing and keeping God's laws. "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 10, 11, 20, and 13. Again, Proverbs 4, 1 and 2, 10, 11, 20, and 23. In the above verse, the Lord instructs us to attend or to pay attention to his words. The commandments of God are his words to us. They are life. The Bible says if we put God's word into our hearts, it will produce the blessings of life. In computer language, we understand the expression, "Giggo," garbage in, garbage out. If we put garbage into our spirits, that is what will come out. Likewise, if we fill our heart with the good things of the Spirit, that is also what will come out. Spiritually as well as physically, we are what we eat. What did Jesus say about the law? In Matthew 12:34-7, Jesus lays out an important principle. Speaking to the Pharisees, he says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by their words they shall be justified, and by their words they shall be condemned." Jesus said that he will either be justified or condemned by the words that we speak. Therefore, it is extremely important that we watch what comes out of our mouth. God wants his words of life and truth to come out of our spirit. For this to happen, however, we must read, study, and receive the word of God in our hearts. It can only come out of our hearts if it has been planted there. If we do not take the time to study and to know his commandments and his words, they will not come forth in our life. "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, they shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5:17-19. The Ten Commandments influence in society and culture. God is doing many wonderful things in this hour. However, Satan is countering with his deception and counterfeits. Our world is becoming more volatile and changes are occurring rapidly. There are huge waves of satanic corruption coming against our culture. All over the world, we are faced with demonic filth that is paraded before us with very little shame. A recent statistic at the time of this writing showed that in the United States, A crime is committed every 3 seconds, and a murder is committed every half an hour. Millions of children are victimized by kiddie pornography. There are hundreds of magazine titles dealing with child pornography, let alone the filth that is available through the internet. Every year, there are a quarter of a million child abuse victims. An estimated 10% of the U.S. population is addicted to cocaine. There are millions of alcoholics in the U.S., and thousands of people die in our highways each year because of liquor, not to mention the other alcohol-related deaths. Teen suicide and pregnancy are major problems as well, as sexual abuse and rape. Millions of women around the world will be sexually abused this year. I share the above statistics because there are some people who believe that the Ten Commandments are out of date and are not relevant for today. If the Ten Commandments had been kept, we wouldn't have committed these sins in our nation, and there would be no statistic to report such as this. Therefore, the Ten Commandments are not out of date today. They are very much in date, and they are needed today so that the healing and wholeness can come to our world. Praise be to God, and I want to take a break, and I need a little drink. I've been fighting a cold, and I want to come back, and we're going to get back into the study, but I believe it is so powerful, and it's so important for us. We need to be giving our all to God and understanding that we need to keep our eyes on Him, to know that He expects us to keep the commandments, and that we need to be willing to get back to that place. We need to put God first in our life. I really hope you're taking the study in tonight. It's really in depth, and it shares a lot. It breaks down so many things, and I encourage you to take notes and to trust God that the commandments still truly are important. And I thank you so much for listening tonight. I truly hope that people take this to heart. We need to have these in our heart and in our lives and understand the world is going to get worse. Things are going to get tough. And we need to be prayed up, found ready in all due season, knowing that God is in control and that any day or any hour, the return of Christ could be upon us. My hope is that we will all be found ready. And I love the Lord. I love to be a voice. And I just thank God for working in my life and helping me to be a voice going forth into the nations. I have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And it's a blessing to see and hear them sharing and taking forth the word from Reaching Out Radio and all they do. And I just thank God for each of them in my life. And I want to share a song by Chris Tomlin. It's a beautiful song, and it's called At the Cross. And I really want you to think about the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that He made and why it's so important to be walking our lives righteously.
There's a place where mercy and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You. I'm in all of You. Where You're
Praise God. Where would we be without the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood that covers our sins and washes them away? Oh, I can just get lost in appreciation and gratitude and in worship when I think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for us all. Getting back into our study of the Ten Commandments, there are actually two parts to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are actually broken up into two basic sections. The first four commandments deal specifically with our relationship with God. The last six commandments deal with the relationship with other human beings. It is important to note that the commandments that focus on God come first. If we keep the first four commandments, the next six will be easier to keep as well. Much of the world focuses on keeping the last six commandments, and they believe that because they are leading a moral life, they are acceptable before God. Treating our fellow man in a righteous manner is extremely important to God. However, the first four commandments are more important than the last six. You may wonder why. That is because they are the foundation of the law. God wants us to treat each other as we ourselves would like to be treated. However, we can only do that to the extent that we are like God. And we are only like Him to the extent that we know Him and we love Him. The knowledge and the love of Him is obtained through keeping the first four commandments. In the time of Christ, there was much discussion in Israel about the law and how to fulfill it. Jesus made the answer very simply by focusing on two verses from the Old Testament that sum up the entire law. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You can find that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus' answer was based on two scriptures from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, 5, and Leviticus 19 and 18. According to Jesus, these are the verses that summed up the whole of the law. The first command deals with our relationship with God, and second command deals with our relationship with others. Therefore, we might say that the first four commandments are summed in the phrase that we are to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and strength. The next six commandments are also summed up in one phrase, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Ten Commandments can be very simple for us to remember, if we know the concepts behind them, love God and love everyone else. If we keep these commands in the proper order and at the forefront of our heart and mind, we cannot go wrong. Love is the highest command and love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:18. Love is the essence of the law. The Old and the New Covenants. One may wonder, why is study of the Ten Commandments are in order? If the law has already been simplified to these two basic commandments, why should we complicate the matter by adding a list of things, do's and don'ts, to such a beautiful and simple law of love? The answer is this. Do you already know how to love God perfectly? Do you know how to love others perfectly? Of course we don't. Without God showing us, although we eagerly anticipate the day when we will be just like Christ, and then having such love will come naturally to us, until then we must let the Spirit of God work within us and learn His ways and follow them. The essence of the law is in love, but is in the Ten Commandments that show us how to love. Without these commandments, the instructions to love would be very difficult to keep, as everyone has a different idea about love. These commandments show us not only what love is, but also how we are to live by it in our everyday life. His desire has been consistent from the beginning of the creation of man and has been plainly stated in the Old Testament. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Isaiah 29:13. Behold, thou dearest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with thy hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Psalm 51:6-7. Again, in the following verse, we see that God's desire was for his law to be in our hearts. And again, let's read that. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt not make to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. This verse speaks of the future covenant that God would make with his people, which were established in Christ. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them up by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. So I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:31. There were many who lived under the old covenant, such as King David, who approached God with a new covenant mentally. He knew that God desired more of him than merely keeping a list of rules. He wanted more than just a checklist to measure his righteousness and acceptability before God. He knew that God desired him to be an intimate friend, and he wanted to know God in the same way. And that should be the desire in all of our lives today. Just as some under the old covenant lived with the new covenant mentality today, it is possible to have an old covenant mentality, even through one may be a Christian and technically living under the new covenant. Obeying the law is not the end of the matter. It's only a vehicle to get us to the end of the matter, which is to enter into a mutual relationship of love and trust with God, where our hearts are consumed with love for him. If we look at the law as the end of the matter, we will have the mentality of what we look like towards others, while God looks at our hearts and motives. However, if our hearts and motives are pure, certainly our actions will line up with our hearts. Those who walk to be seen of men as good, while inside they are not, are hypocrites. God's way is to write his law on our hearts and make us holy from the inside out. Hallelujah. Receiving the word of God with the proper attitude. I feel that it is necessary to interject a very important point here. God commands us to study his word. However, it is how we receive the word of God that makes all the differences in our lives. The Pharisees were known for their strict observance of the law. They were very zealous for knowing and keeping the commandments of God, far more than the average Israelite. Yet we find Jesus constantly rebuking them for their evil hearts. Therefore, we can see that it is possible to know the laws of God, but to no avail. We can study his word in depth and still bear no harvest of righteousness. This is a sobering thought for all who wish to know the law and ways of God. We must be aware that the more we understand of his ways and righteousness, the greater the temptation we have to judge and condemn those who are not where we are. This is the temptation the Pharisees fell into. They kept the outward law better than anyone in Israel, and yet they missed the entire point of it. Their lives were consumed with keeping the tiniest detail of the law, and yet they broke the greatest commandments of love. Their self-righteous behavior indicated that one thing they loved most was not God or even other people, but themselves. Let us learn from the mistakes of the Pharisees. If we strive to obey these laws so that we may feel righteous and better than others, we have already broken them. If we strive to keep these commandments in an outward manner while neglecting the inner principles of them, we are worse than a lawbreaker. We are a hypocrite. What is one of the most despised and unattractive qualities that a human can possess? Wouldn't we all agree that we hate interacting with someone who has a superior attitude towards us and the rest of the world? Whether they are right or wrong in their position matters little when all they have for others is criticism and condemnation. Those who treat others with contempt and arrogance are among the least liked people on the planet. This attitude is distasteful to God as well. He would rather be with one sinner who has a little humanity than 100 righteous people who are prideful and intolerant of others. Luke 18:10-14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Hallelujah. I love that. Praise be to God. Self-righteousness always blinds us to the truth. The more self-righteous we are, the less of a true understanding we will have concerning who God really is. How else could it be that those who studied Scripture more than any others were the greatest stumbling blocks to those who sought the truth? How can it be that those who were most diligent in the Word missed the author of the Word as he walked among them? Not only did they not recognize him, but they violently opposed him. The Pharisees and lawyers of the day knew the Scriptures backwards and forwards, yet for all their study, they never saw the figure of Christ within the Scripture. In the following Scriptures, we see the accusation that Jesus makes against them. As we begin the study of the Ten Commandments, let us also take these words to heart, lest we also fall into the same trap as them. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me, and you will not come to me, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receiveth honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? John 5:37-44. I want to make a few quick points from this verse. First, we can see that though the Pharisees diligently read the Word and believed that they had eternal life through it, they were deceived. The Word of God did not actually abide within them. They knew the Word, but it did not live in their hearts. If it did, they would have recognized the Lord when he came among them. Jesus also pointed out it was impossible for them to believe in him as long as they were seeking honor from each other rather than from God. Let us decide, therefore, that we will not seek after the honor and praise of men, whether they be of the world or within the walls of religion. Seeking such praise will always hinder our faith. We must never read the Scriptures in an attempt to discern how we may obtain glory or praise, but rather how God alone may be glorified. It is not merely knowing the Scriptures, but rather it is living by them that saves us. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving your own self. James 1:22. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Matthew 7:24. It is noble to commit to the Bible, to our memory, as long as we do it for the right reason. But we must remember that playing with the scripture is like playing with dynamite. There is power in those words. The same scripture that has power to work for our life can also work for our death. If it is received wrongly, the very words that are intended to bring light bring blindness instead. As soon as we mix our Bible study with self-righteousness, we begin to have word vision. If we continue to mix these two, we will eventually be as blind as the Pharisees who did not even know that they were blind. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Though blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Matthew 23:24-26. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou that mote that is thy brother's eyes, but perceivest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Luke 6:39-41. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, how are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. John 9:39-41. The more exposure to the Bible that we have, the greater responsibility we have to walk in truth. If we use our knowledge wrongfully, we are worse off than if we had never heard it in the first place. Someone may ask, well then, wouldn't I be safer never reading the Bible at all? That way I won't have to be held responsible for my actions. Actually, there is no safety in ignoring the Word of God. Ignoring it is even more dangerous. It contains the instructions to life and tells us what will take place in the future. If we do not read those instructions and understand those prophecies, how can we make wise decisions that will lead us to life? Lack of knowledge leads to destruction. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, though thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea 4:6. The wise person will take to heart the lessons of the past and consider the messages that pertain to the future, so that he or she may mind their own place and purpose in the world right now. The Bible is meant to bring light to our daily existence. It is the rod by which we measure our heart. It is a message that shows us how to both overcome in this world and to live in the next one as well. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40:8. Therefore, we can see that the answer to this dilemma is actually quite simple. The only possible path that we are left with is to read and study God's word with a humble and open heart to hear from God. We must be willing to drop all the preconceived ideas and acknowledge that the words we are reading are meant specifically for us. So often we apply the words of the Bible to others when God wants us to look inside our own hearts. Many have read the Bible but have not been able to understand the message because their hearts were closed and dull. If you want understanding, we are confident that the Lord will give it to you. He never holds himself back from the one who truly desires to know him. Before we go any farther in this study, let us pray for the guidance of the Lord. Father in heaven, We become before you at this moment with a humble heart. We desire to know your ways, O God, that we might serve you correctly. We acknowledge the ways of men are flawed and that we have missed the mark of walking with you in friendship and holiness as you originally created us to do in the garden. Now, God, we ask for your guidance as we study your commandments. Give us understanding and revelation of your eternal principles. Open our eyes and heal us from all spiritual blindness. We invite your Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us in the way of wisdom for the purpose of knowing and loving you. May we receive your love into our heart, and may your great mercy make us into merciful people. Father, I ask that each person who partakes of this study will be changed. Let the life of God be awakened and revived within them. I pray this in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to share a beautiful worship song right now with by my dear sister in Christ, and she teaches on Saturday nights, Sister Mary Grable, and I really do believe that it is truly fitting. And the song talks just about what it was saying in the prayer, I want to be healed. And I pray tonight that you open your hearts and your mind to let the Spirit minister to you, and that God can heal you spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever it is that you're going through. Know that he is a great healer. And there is forgiveness when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we repent and get our sin under the blood. We are set free through him. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Father God. I just lift our listeners up to you tonight, dear God, my brothers and sisters from every corner of every nation, dear God. I pray for spiritual bondage to be broken tonight, Father God. I pray, dear God, for addictions to be broke tonight, dear God. I pray, dear God, that you speak to people's hearts and they get rid of pride and self, dear God. My hope is tonight, dear God, that people start to understand the importance of keeping your commandments, dear God, and to loving their fellow man, dear God. I pray, dear God, that you cast out prejudice, dear God, and that you fill people's hearts full of love, the love of Jesus Christ, dear God. Father, get a hold of people in this world, dear God. Help us to be the change this world needs, Father. Bring healing in their lives, dear God. Bring healing in their minds and in their hearts, Father God. Change people, Father God. I ask that your spirit pour out upon them. I speak against the lies of the enemy, and I bind these things on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that you look at the lies of God. I feel your presence, Father God, and I acknowledge you. And I ask that you continue to lead me, dear God. I want all I do to glorify you, dear God. Father God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Mold us into what you'd have us be, dear God. Help us to be marching mightily warriors, dear God, in your end-time army. There's a need, dear God. There's an urgency. The signs of time are unfolding for the return of your Son. We need to be found ready. We need to be voices going forth, Father. I ask, dear God, that this word go forth, dear God, and people receive it. I give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, and I ask these things in your Son's name and in your perfect will, Father God. Amen. Such a beautiful anointing, my dear sister's song. I absolutely love it, and so many of us do need healing in so many ways. And I want to talk to you how the law shall be on our hearts. All the way through the Bible, God deals with what goes on in the heart of man. Jesus especially focused on his teaching on this issue. He always put his finger right on the motives of men in the Old Testament. Men were commanded not to commit murder. And in the New Testament, Jesus further explained that this meant by getting to the heart of the issue, hatred. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Matthew 5:21-22. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:15. Because the heart issue is so important to God, in this study, we will attempt to examine both the outward commandments as well as the principles behind the commandment. We will also examine the internal motives that cause us to break them in the first place. God is calling us out of the world of slavery to sin into a world of absolute freedom in Him. Hallelujah. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey Him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Romans 6:16-18. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Exodus 1:1-2. In these verses, it says that God brought his people out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery or bondage. Egypt is a type of world and the devil. God will bring anyone who chooses to follow him out of the bondage of sin. And it intends to God's freedom. Some of us have lived in bondage so long that we have a hard time adjusting to our new freedom. We are used to being in a cage, in a prison. Even after God brings us out, it takes us a while for us to operate in the freedom of Christ and to learn the new laws of God and His ways. I want to share with you the story of the caged chickens. Several years ago, we bought some chickens from a poultry farm. They were chickens who had lived their entire lives in a cage. We took them out to our ranch, and we turned them loose to freely run in the chicken yard and go in and out of the chicken house at will. As we placed them on the chicken house floor, they didn't move. The poor little things had lived in cages all their life, so they just stayed right in the chicken house. They didn't even know how to roost. They didn't even get up on a roost at night. They stayed huddled together on the floor. They were used to sleeping under a light because the poultry farmer kept a light lamp on them to make them lay more eggs. Sadly, men have devised ways to get the most out of everything, no matter if it's good for the animal or not. Because they were used to the light, they would sleep outside, huddled under the moon on the ground. They didn't even know how to drink water the regular way because they had only known to drink water out of a little bottle with a little red tip on it. They always had gone over and pushed that little tip and gotten their water out. Now they had fresh running water, yet they didn't even know how to drink. One of them almost drowned trying to learn how to drink. These chickens didn't know what freedom was. I don't know if they would have ever enjoyed their freedom without someone to teach them what to do. But we had some older chickens that were already there, and after the new ones watched them for a while, they discovered a new way of living. Living with the older chickens for a time and learning from them, they got liberated. Hallelujah! They found out that they could go any place in the barnyard, but it took them a while. Humans are the same way. We are creatures of habit. We don't realize it, but we do things out of habit. God wants to break old habits and old things out of our lives that do not glorify Him. As soon as we become born again, the Holy Spirit will deal with various issues in our lives. We immediately begin to know and understand by the Spirit that certain things that seemed acceptable yesterday no longer can be tolerated. The Lord begins to mold us into the image of His Son, and we see that old habits are not fitting for God's kingdom or His house. And God wants us to get out of that chicken yard, out of the barnyard. He wants us to be eagles flying high and soaring free. Praise be to God. Moving into God's house. If somebody comes to visit our house and they have bad habits, will we tolerate them on a short-term basis? Out of the graciousness of our heart, we won't say anything. We will just put up with it, and once they leave, we will clean up behind them. However, if somebody comes to live with us, the rules are different. We may say, wait a minute, we have rules in this house. This is how we live here. We do not put these things in this house. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. When we come to God's house with some bad, filthy habits, He begins to show us the way out of bondage. Now that we are living in His house, the rules are different. God gives us commandments and rules that we know what is acceptable in His house. If someone came to live in our own home with us, there would be certain rules they would be asked to follow. It would not be acceptable to throw the towels down the bathroom floor. There would be certain things that we would expect of them. We would expect them to make up their beds when they got up in the morning. They would help with cleaning up the dishes because we like our house to be neat and clean. God likes His house neat and clean too. He says that those filthy things that we used to do are not acceptable in His house. That is the reason He gives us rules. The laws and commandments of God are given so that we might live a blessed life in this earth. God gives us these rules out of His love for us. As we study each of them, we will see how God designed them to be a blessing. His commandments confirm His love for us. When we first come into the kingdom, many of us don't know how to respond to this new freedom from sin. We have walked the old way for so long. We have bad habits and bad thought patterns. We are used to the old ways, but God wants to show us a new way. This new way is by faith, walking in the Spirit and trusting God to break the old habits. He will certainly do it for anyone who desires to change. His power and grace are enough to transform us all. As we begin the study of the commandments, let us remember that none of these come naturally to fallen human beings. These are not things that we all naturally do. That is why God repeatedly tells us to remember these commands. He knows how easy it is for us just to forget them. We automatically respond to these things in a certain way. However, God is saying to us, I want to show you the new way by the Spirit. I'm going to give you my Spirit to break the old habits. In conclusion, as we go through this study and see the principle of God behind these commandments, I believe that we will gain a greater appreciation of not only why these commandments were written, but also how to keep them in a way that pleases God. Jesus is our model in this endeavor, for above all men has kept the commandments of God in absolute perfection. He was the sinless one, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. His death and resurrection has opened a new and living way into the holy place of God. This place is open not just to a few saintly few, but to anyone who desires to enter therein. Many in their fear of becoming like a Pharisee have thrown out much of the law and live with very low standards of holiness. Surely this reaction against legalism is not the answer. Self-righteous legalism and unholy liberty are both equally defilingly and evil in the sight of God. Both send the wrong message to those who do not yet know God, and neither of these extremes can lead us or anyone else to life. Both of these extremes oppose the work of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. Despite the failure of many who have gone before us to obtain the path of life, let us not be discouraged. God is calling us to press onward in humility, holiness, and as a burning fire of love for Him. The tools He has given us are more than abundant, and God's power works strongly in behalf of those who seek Him with a pure heart. In fact, we will find that the more of ourselves that we give to the Lord, the greater ease we have in living and walking in His ways. As we yield to the dealings of the Holy Spirit in our life, and as we seek to know and obey the Word of God, we will achieve the most precious gift in the universe, eternal life with the Lord of life. His righteousness will truly be written on our heart, and we will share in His joy and freedom. Great peace awaits those who diligently give all that they are, that they may know the Lord of glory and obtain the priceless treasure of these few words taken from Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Praise be to God. What a beautiful teaching on the Ten Commandments and the importance that the commandments still have in our life. We need to be walking every day, surrendering our lives, understanding our lives, that they belong to Him and that our life is in His hand. And I pray tonight that you really get an understanding of that word and what the Ten Commandments mean. And I hope that you know that God has the commandments for a reason. They're not just a suggestion. They really are to help us and guide us in life. I pray that God keeps His hands upon you, that you're open your mind to receive them. And my hope is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you will let Him into your heart and accept Him. Seek Him while He can still be found. He is the only way unto the Father and into our eternal life. May God bless you and keep you. I suggest that you go back and listen and have an understanding and start to practice your commandments and know them and know the importance. God wants them to be written upon your heart. I love you all, but know God loves you more. Don't back down when God is backing you up. And know greater is He than that's in us and that's in the world. With God, all things are possible. You were created for a purpose and a plan. God has a reason for your life. I pray that you let Him fulfill that purpose. May you have a very blessed week ahead. I invite you to join us in the morning for Brian and Leah Fouts. Be encouraged with Brian and Leah. And Hazak Ministries are teaching on Armor Up at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we have the Word of God going forth 7 days a week here on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Don't back down when God is backing you up. Have a very blessed night. God bless you all. I want to go out with a beautiful worship song and keep me in your prayers, because I've got a little bit of a cold and allergy thing going on. And please continue to pray for my beautiful mother. She's still going through, not able to eat. And pray for Reaching Out Radio, that God grows it and uses it. And I pray for all of you that you grow in his word and you be found ready, because we never know the day or the hour of his return. God bless you all. Thank you for your time. Have a very blessed week ahead.
I am guilty, ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrong, you break my
God bless you all.